Watson?
Yes?
Watch. The chemical reaction you are about to witness will solve the mystery concerning the persecution of Mr. John Vincent Harden.
Excellent. The tobacco millionaire. Shall I take notes?
No, I will dictate in the fullness of time.
There's a young lady wishes to see you, Mr. Holmes.
This is not a convenient moment.
She's very well spoken. A genuine lady.
No doubt.
And persistent, too.
Mrs. Hudson, I too am extremely persistent, especially when I'm working.
It is a matter of great urgency, Mr. Holmes, or I would not be troubling you on a Saturday evening.
Well, perhaps you could delay your chemical reaction, huh?
Very well.
Do sit down. Miss,
Violet Smith.
Dr. Watson. Thank you, Mrs. Hudson.
A genuine lady, I told you.
Oh, please.
Thank you. I'll be quite happy here.
Very well, Miss Smith. You must tell us your matter of great urgency. It is obviously not your health. So ardent a bicyclist must be full of energy.
Yes, I bicycle a good deal.
Slight roughening on the side of the soles caused by the friction of the pedals.
Excellent, Watson. The marks on your shoes.
Oh, yes. Even if I have to travel a long way, I take my bicycle on the train with me, as I did today.
You will excuse me, but it is my business. Yes, I nearly fell into the error of supposing you earned a living by typewriting, but of course it is obviously music. You will observe, Watson, the spatulate finger ends, which is common to both professions. There is a spirituality about the face, however, which the typewriter does not generate. This lady is a musician.
Yes, Mr. Holmes, I teach music.
In the country, I presume, from your complexion.
Near Farnham, on the borders of Surrey. But please, let me explain why I am here. I am an only child, and my father died some years ago.
His name and profession?
James Smith. He conducted the orchestra at the old Imperial Theatre.
Ah, the old Imperial, Holmes.
Yes. Please continue.
My mother and I were left without a relation in the world, except for one uncle, Ralph Smith, who went to Africa 15 years ago. And we have not had a word from him since, despite our Christmas cards and photographs. Mr. Holmes, I have to tell you that...
I think you wish to tell me that you and your mother are very poor, notwithstanding your obvious grace, dignity and talent.
We were very poor.
Ah.
About 4 months ago, in February, we were told there was an advertisement in the Times inquiring for our whereabouts. You can imagine how excited we were, for we thought that someone had left us a fortune. I went at once to the lawyers whose name was given in the paper.
Now, this is Miss Violet Smith.
The solicitor introduced me to two men, a Mr. Carruthers and a Mr. Woodley. They were on a visit from South Africa.
I wish I could tell you your uncle left you a vast fortune, but as I said...
He died in extreme poverty.
However, I myself am not without means.
My mother and I never sought charity.
No, nor do I offer it. Please. I have a question to ask of you. Your Uncle Ralph said you were very musical. Do you teach music?
Yes.
Miss Smith, I am now a widower with a 10-year-old daughter.
Young Sarah.
She needs a music teacher. So you see, I do not offer charity.
A job. He wants to give you a job.
Whereabouts in London do you live, Mr. Carruthers?
I don't. I live about 6 miles from Farnham, in Surrey, at Chiltern Grange.
I couldn't possibly leave my mother on her own.
I will pay you £100 a year.
£100 a year?
Yes.
Approximately double the market price, I think.
Oh, at least.
Which you obviously accepted. Or you wouldn't be here now.
Yes, I accepted the offer. Oh, Mr. Carruthers agreed that I should go home every weekend to my mother in town.
So this is one of your weekend visits to London?
It is.
Tell me about your life at Chiltern Grange.
For a while, it was quite perfect. Every Monday morning, I would take the train to Farnham and then bicycle from the station to the house. The little girl's name was Sarah, and she was delightful, as well as being a very good pupil. That was very much better, Sarah.
May I try it again?
Of course. That's why we're here. Mr. Carruthers was appreciative of my work and an extremely kind and considerate host.
Sounds idyllic.
It was.
What happened to spoil it?
A visitor.
Mr. Woodley.
However did you guess, Mr. Holmes?
Miss Smith. I never guess. Tell me about his visit.
He arrived and was to stay for a week. To me, it seemed like 3 months. Oh, that odious red moustache. One evening, after dinner, Mr. Carruthers had to leave us for a minute to see somebody at the door.
A gentleman to see you, sir.
Will you excuse me?
That's better.
Better? In what way?
Better to get the old folk out of the way.
Oh, I don't regard Mr. Carruthers as old.
Oh, yes, but he isn't young. Like us.
I do wish you wouldn't blow smoke in my face, Mr. Woodley.
Oh, I don't believe that for a moment.
What don't you believe?
When women say they wish you wouldn't do something, it generally means the exact opposite.
I mean precisely what I say. Mr. Woodley, will you please leave me alone?
No. To tell you the truth, I won't leave you alone. Not until I've said what's in my heart.
What do you mean?
Not very well up in the social graces, but I'm prepared to learn. If you're prepared to teach me.
Oh, this is absurd.
It isn't absurd. I'm asking you to marry me. I mean it. It's from the heart. Money isn't a problem. I did very well out in South Africa. Whatever you're accustomed to, I can give you better. Better than you're accustomed to. Jewelry, diamonds. You want diamonds? Oh, I can give you diamonds.
I don't want diamonds.
Oh, you think about it. I won't rush you.
I've thought about it. And the idea is ludicrous.
Will you come blame me for trying? You're very beautiful. Listen. Just to show there are no hard feelings. What about a little kiss to be going on with, hmm? Just a peck on the cheek.
Mr. Woodley, will you please stop it?
Oh, I told you before about women who say stop it.
No!
The more they struggle, the more fun it is.
Mr. Carruthers, will you stop it?
Get out of this house! All right. I'm going. I'm not interested in old men. In old maids.
I can only offer you my most sincere apologies for what has happened. If I give you my assurance that it will not happen again, for my daughter's sake, will you stay?
Yes. I will stay.
Thank you, Violet.
Mr. Woodley left the house, and I have not seen him since.
The blackguard.
Has there been any change in the behavior of Mr. Carruthers?
No. He continues to be polite and considerate and courteous.
Now, Miss Smith, please continue.
Yes. There is something else. Oh, it may be a mere fancy of mine, but it seems to me that Mr. Carruthers shows a great deal of interest in me. Oh, he has never said anything. He is a perfect gentleman. But a girl always knows.
So I believe.
And I assume that these feelings that you sense from Mr. Carruthers are not reciprocated?
He is a kind and generous employer, but I am already engaged.
Oh, the name of this very fortunate young man is?
Cyril Morton. He's an electrical engineer with the Midland Electric Company in Coventry. We're to be married at the end of the summer.
We wish you joy.
Thank you.
Yet I am puzzled as to why you have chosen to consult me. It is an intriguing story, to be sure. But I sense you are frightened. and do not understand why. You seem well capable of protecting yourself.
Please. Help me, Mr. Holmes.
What is it?
I am being followed.
Followed? By whom?
A cyclist. Every Saturday morning, I bicycle from the house to Farnham Station to catch the 12:22 to town. There is one very quiet and lonely stretch of road that lies between Charlington Heath on the one hand and the woods of Charlington Hall on the other. 2 weeks ago today, I was passing this place when I chanced to look back and saw a man, also on a bicycle. But the following Monday, when I returned, he was there again.
I see.
And again last Saturday. And again last Monday.
Have you mentioned this to your employer?
Yes. Mr. Carruthers was very concerned and has ordered a horse and trap so that in future I should not travel unaccompanied. But they've not yet arrived.
And this morning?
He was following me again. I slowed down, but he did the same. Then I stopped completely, but he did the same. So, I laid a trap for him. There is a sharp turning of the road, and I pedalled very quickly towards this, and then stopped and waited. But he seemed to disappear into thin air.
Can you describe this man? I realise that you've only seen him from a distance.
Yes. He wears a dark suit, dark spectacles, and he has a beard.
Young? Old?
He's about middle-aged.
Now, let me see if I have the geography correct. Here is the road. There's a sharp bend in it here. On this side, Charlington Heath, and on the other, the woods of Charlington Hall. How long did you wait for him here around the bend?
Oh, no more than 2 minutes.
So he could not have retreated back down the road?
Are there any side roads?
None along this stretch.
Could he have taken a footpath across the heath?
Oh, the heath is totally flat and bleak. I think I would have noticed him.
So, by a process of exclusion, we arrive at the fact that he made his way towards Charlington Hall. Now, how does Mr. Carruthers make his living?
Oh, he's a rich man.
But no carriages or horses.
Well, at least he's fairly well off. He goes into the city 2 or 3 times a week. And he sometimes refers to his gold chairs.
Yes, I see. You must let me know immediately that there are any fresh developments. I am extremely busy just now, but I will find time to make inquiries into your case.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
In the meantime, take no step without letting me know.
I'm sure we shall have nothing but good news for you.
I do hope so, Dr. Watson.
Very lovely girl.
Yeah. And it is part of the settled order of nature that such a girl should have followers, but for choice, not on bicycles in lonely country roads.
You really think she may be in some danger, Holmes?
Oh, yes.
On the following Monday, Holmes found that he had business which detained him in London. So he dispatched me on the early train to Farnham that I might observe Miss Smith's passage past Charlington Hall. The setting was just as she had described. heavily wooded on the side bordering the hall, and utterly exposed on the other. I selected the only available cover and waited.
Wasted your time.
I thought I did rather well.
No, your hiding place was ill chosen. You should have been in the bracken on the other side of the road. In that way, you would have had a close view of this fascinating solitary sight. Thank you. As it is, you are 100 yards away and can tell me even less than Miss Smith reported to us last Saturday. You described him as bending low over the handlebar?
Yes, quite low.
That's concealment again, which in your case worked perfectly. Oh, no, you really have done remarkably badly. He goes back to the hall, and you come all the way back to London to call on a house agent.
Well, I found the information I was seeking.
You found the name Williamson, which conveys nothing to my mind.
Well, we know he's elderly and respectable.
And therefore unlikely to be the energetic cyclist that sprints away from that athletic young girl.
Well, what should I have done?
Gone to the nearest public house. That is the centre of country gossip. They would have given you every name from the master to the scullery maid. Instead of which you give me... Williams.
Good afternoon, I wonder.
So, what have we gained by your expedition? The fact that the girl's story is true. I never doubted that. That there is a connection between the cyclist and the hall. I never doubted that either. But the hall is tenanted by a man called Williamson. Who is the better for that?
I shall go back tomorrow and visit the public house.
No, my dear sir, do not commit yourself to rashness because you are temporarily depressed. We can do nothing useful until Saturday.
Did I really do remarkably badly?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Mr. Brothers. It is a new piece. I need to practice it more.
No, I don't mean the music. Violet, I have a question to ask you.
Morning, Harold.
A letter from Miss Violet Smith. Now, Carruthers has proposed marriage to her.
Carruthers?
Gentlemen are permitted to propose marriage, Watson.
I thought he wouldn't know about Cyril. You going to Farnham?
I want to test one or two theories which I have formed.
Shall I come with you?
No, that will be neither useful nor necessary.
Try the nearest public house. Always a good centre for country gossip.
Thank you, Watson. Capital notion. Of your local ale, please.
Here we are.
Thank you. You may keep the chair.
Well, it's most generous of you, sir, but I couldn't. I haven't done anything to warrant such generosity.
I'm about to give you the opportunity. I need some information.
Oh, I'm not one for idle gossip, sir.
Neither am I. I prefer facts. Tell me about the people at Charlington Hall.
Well, you mean Mr. Williamson, sir?
Yes.
Well, he was in here not more than 5 minutes ago. You dismissed him.
But tell me about Mr. Williamson. I mean, he's an elderly, respectable gentleman.
Oh, he's elderly, no doubt. Far be it from me to speak ill of people behind their backs, but I'm none too sure about respectable.
Really?
He's an ex-clergyman, I reckon.
Ex.
Apparently, he was struck off. Or whatever it is. Happens to clergymen. That's doctors, isn't it? Struck off.
Tell me about the other people up at the house.
Well, they're just domestic staff. And they're all local. And God-fearing.
Of course.
But he do have folk up there at weekends, so.
Weekends?
Yes, sir. Weekend.
What sort of folk?
Oh, a warm lot.
Warm?
Yeah. The sort you don't want to get too near for fear of getting burnt, like.
It's good.
Oh. Well, you may think it's good, sir. But it don't go down well in the village, I can tell you. And there's one fella in particular.
Particularly warm, is he? This?
Yeah. Very particular, isn't he?
I'll wager he has a red moustache.
Yeah. Do you know him?
I've never met the gentleman.
Well, now's your chance.
Mr. Woodley.
None of your damn business.
Our landlord keeps a very respectable house, and your language is not welcome.
Who do you think you are? What the hell do you want coming here asking all them questions?
You're quite right, landlord. Clearly not a gentleman.
Oh, I'm as much a gentleman as you are.
Everybody here will bear witness to the fact that I am acting in self-defense. No, sir. A gentleman. Only a ruffian deals a blow with the back of a hand. A gentleman uses the straight. And I said I'm a gentleman. It was absolutely delicious, Watson.
So I see.
A straight left against a slogging ruffian. I merged, as you see.
And the slogging ruffian?
Mr. Woodley was taken home in a cart.
There's that horrible man again.
Which man?
Look at this. What on earth did he come to
mean? Read this.
I saw Mr. Woodley in the garden today.
You did. He's staying in the area. But do not worry. I have told him quite firmly he is not to set foot inside the house.
Dear Mr. Holmes, you will not be surprised to learn that I will be leaving Mr. Carruthers' employment on Saturday.
The odious Mr. Woodley has reappeared at Chiltern Grange.
Ah, but at least you won't be bicycling to the station.
So finally, the rich Mr. Carruthers has acquired a horse and trap.
Yes. Look here. All my troubles will be over on Saturday. Tomorrow, Holmes. All our troubles will be over.
Why do I worry about that word?
Which word?
Trap.
Thank you.
splendid morning, Holmes.
It's acceptable weather for the time of year.
Now, who would want to harm that dear girl on such a morning?
I hope nobody.
So why did you bring your revolver?
I'm talking about my hope, not my expectation.
Listen. What?
Answer that. Is our Miss Smith. She must be traveling by an earlier train. I've given a margin of half an hour, but she'll be past Charlington Hall before we can possibly meet her.
So what can we do?
We could run.
Fool! I should have allowed for that earlier train!
Abduction, murder, heaven knows what. Stop that horse. Good man. Come on, Watson. Let's see if I can repair the consequences of my own blunder. Come.
I'm asking you. You were in her cart.
It was on the road. There was no one in it.
Somebody seems to have gone through this way.
We must find them.
Come on.
Look. Do you know who this is?
That's Peter, the groom. He was taking her to the station.
He's alive. Pulse is strong. Mustn't be left lying there too long.
Let him lie. It can't do him any good. But we might save her from the worst fate that can befall a woman.
Where are you going?
The house.
They didn't go to the house. They went this way to the left.
Are you sure? The cowardly dogs. Too late.
Watson.
Too late by the living jingle. Consented together in holy wedlock.
Oh.
And have witnessed the same before God and this company. And have declared the same by the giving and receiving of the ring and the joining of hands. I pronounce that they be man and wife together. Congratulations.
Thanks, old man. And married. Welcome to the party, gentlemen. Let me introduce you to Mrs. Woodley.
Don't, Carruthers.
Carruthers?
Yes. I'll see this woman righted if I have to swing for it.
You're too late. She's my wife!
No. She's your widow.
I told you what I'd do if you molested her! By the Lord, I'm a man of my word!
When you hired me, nobody told me there'd be any of this damn nonsense.
Drop that pistol. Watson, pick it up. Give me that revolver. We'll have no more violence.
Who are you to be giving these orders?
Sherlock Holmes.
Good Lord.
Here, you.
Sir?
Are you well enough to drive into Farnham?
Yes, sir. I reckon I am.
Then give this note to the superintendent of the police station. In the meantime, I must detain you all under my own personal custody. Doctor.
Miss Smith's very well, considering the foul way she's been treated.
And Woodley?
Alas, I have no doubt he will live.
What? I'll go upstairs and finish him off.
Now sit down in that chair, Carruthers.
You're right. He isn't worth swinging for. But you told me that girl is to be tied to Roaring Jack Woodley for life.
You didn't concern yourself about that.
I married them till death do them part.
Under no circumstances can she be considered his wife.
Are you sure?
For two very good reasons. In the first place, we're very safe in questioning Mr. Williamson's right to solemnize the marriage.
I have been ordained.
And unfrocked.
Once a clergyman, always a clergyman.
I think not. How about the license?
Oh, we had a license. I have it here.
Undoubtedly obtained by a trick. But in any case, a forced marriage is no marriage. Indeed, it is a very serious felony, as you will discover. Now, while we are waiting for the police, Mr. Carruthers, you might tell me your story.
If you squeal on us, Bob Carruthers, I'll serve you as you serve Jack Woodley!
There's no need for you to get overexcited. The case is clear enough.
Well, if it's clear enough, why don't you tell us?
Very well. Mr. Carruthers will have to fill in a few details for my private curiosity, but I am happy to do the talking. In the first place, the three of you came across from South Africa.
Wrong! I've never even been in South Africa.
It's true. Woodley acquired this creature after our return.
Very well. You and Woodley had known Ralph Smith in South Africa. You had reason to believe that he would not live long. And you found out that his niece would inherit his fortune. How's that?
But you told the girl her uncle died in poverty.
Whereas he was still alive, admittedly only just. And a wealthy man, who I suspect had made no will.
Ralph Smith could neither read nor write.
So, you and Woodley came over here and hunted up the girl, knowing she was the next of kin, and that you would share the plunder.
I was due a share for services rendered.
And Carruthers, you made the mistake of falling in love with her.
The first time that ever I knew what love was, Mr. Holmes.
Why didn't you tell her of the danger she was in?
Because she would have left me.
And I couldn't bear to face that. Oh, what will happen to my daughter, Sarah?
We'll see she's well taken care of.
You see, even if she couldn't love me, it meant a great deal to see her about the house and hear the sound of her voice.
You may call it love, Mr. Carruthers. I should call it selfishness.
Maybe the two things go together. But I tried to protect her. I never once let her go past this house where I knew those rascals were lurking without following her on my bicycle to see she came to no harm. I kept my distance and wore that beard so she should not recognize me.
Then I presume the cable arrived.
Cable? What cable? The old man is dead. What old man?
I imagine Ralph Smith in South Africa.
Yes.
But by this time you and Woodley had quarreled and he had left the house.
Woodley came back again to ask me to stick to the bargain. I refused. I said I would have nothing to do with violence.
One last detail. Why was Woodley chosen as the prospective husband?
I'm ashamed to say it. We played cards for her.
Results of the trial. Listen to this. The judge, in summing up, said...
Holmes.
Watson, may I be permitted an educated guess?
Go on, then.
I would expect Woodley to get 10 years, Williamson 7 years, and Carruthers, in view of the eloquent speech I made on his behalf at the trial... probably 6 months.
That is exactly right.
Well, I have certain advantages, Watson. Largely the fact that I sent out for the early editions.
An undoubted advantage.
Also, we have received a present, some wedding cake from Mr. and Mrs. Cyril Morton, together with a letter telling us that Mrs. Morton has inherited a large sum of money from her uncle, Ralph Smith, formerly of South Africa. The happy couple are thoroughly enjoying looking after young Sarah Carruthers, while the father is in custody. Her piano playing is improving, and she wants to take up bicycling.
A splendid day all round, wouldn't you say?
There is more splendor yet to come.
More splendor? What do you mean?
Watch carefully.
Oh, I remember. The chemical reaction that will solve the mystery concerning the persecution of Mr. John Vincent Harden.
Precisely. I've spent the entire week in the Imperial Science Museum, and I think this is the answer.
Thank you.
that the answer, Holmes?
Yes, that is the answer, Watson.
What a little flag.